Greetings, God's beloved. Thanks for tuning into the Sermon Podcast from Reformation Lutheran Church in Las Vegas. It's the third Sunday after Epiphany, and our text today comes from Jeremiah 16, verses 14 through 16, and verse 21, and the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, 1 through 11. Thanks for listening, and God bless you. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father in heaven, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In school, I was always the smallest kid in my class. And early in my first year of ninth grade, I was coming out of the cafeteria when I was stopped by the high school wrestling coach. And he invited me to practice. I had never wrestled or known anything about the sport other than watching Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant on pay-per-view television. But he insisted that I was going to wrestle with the team. This man saw me and made a personal invitation to participate in something I had no idea about. And I didn't know what to expect, but I went and I showed up to see what it was all about. Now, to have a legal match, a student must weigh at least 88 pounds. And at age 14, I weighed in 10 pounds under. But something about his insistence excited me, and I wanted to find out more. So I showed up to find out what it was all about, and I kept on coming. I learned a lot over the next 4 years about hard work and discipline and leadership and commitment and teamwork and perseverance and more. But it all started because someone saw something in me and called me out of my comfort zone. And as a skinny kid, I could not have anticipated or expected that I would be wrestling with future college football players and growing as a team captain, going to the state tournament with my senior year, or building the memories and friendships that remain with me today. But God moves us beyond our expectations. Luke's account of the good news has Jesus on the move. And every story, he's being whisked away from this place to that. He's been preaching and teaching in the synagogues. And though he was not accepted in his hometown of Nazareth, as we heard last week, he kept on going to Capernaum, where he cast out a demon and healed people with skin diseases, and into the deserted places. So he met Simon, and he healed his mother-in-law, and the people loved what he was doing. They loved hearing him speak. They liked to see Jesus around, so they wanted to hang on to him. They wanted to keep him there. They longed to hear from him. So much that while he was near the Sea of Galilee, Lake of Gennesaret, same place, they crowded around him, and he had to get into this empty boat to be able to speak to the crowds. And there on the shore, we can imagine these exhausted, disappointed fishermen. They were mending their nets after working all night. They hadn't caught anything. They could only see their failure. But Jesus sees them and says to get back out there. There's more work to do. He sends them into deeper waters. You want to play that song, Oceans, I know, Pastor Matt. We didn't put it in the bulletin today, sorry. Sends them out into this deeper part of the lake to find the fish. It seems strange because they had just fished all night, right? And now the sun was up. And their linen nets would be more easily seen by the fish. That's why they didn't fish for the most part during the day. Simon responds to the master's request, not expecting it to work maybe, but obeying. And because of Jesus' command, he gets back to work. Out there in the water, they caught so many fish that the nets were breaking. The boats were sinking. It was more than food for the day, you see. This amount of fish would provide a great income for their families. It would be food for the whole community, maybe. And this great windfall would sustain their business. So Peter recognizes this miracle, this sign from God. He falls down on his knees, and he knows he's not worthy to even be in Jesus' presence, and identifies himself as a sinner. Readers familiar to this story will remember that later Peter will be the one to identify Jesus as the Messiah. So he begs Jesus, go away from me, I'm a sinner. But who does Jesus call but sinners? And Jesus has another plan. He calms their fears and invites Peter along with James and John to just leave it all behind. Leave the nets there on the shore. Leave the boats. Leave their families. Come and follow him. To follow Jesus is not an easy thing, and we don't know what they might have expected. But we know how frustrated we get at times. Fishing for people is kind of a strange image to begin with. We can imagine them being hooked against their will. Or maybe we hear this invitation of Jesus as a call to drag people into the church. And so often we invite people and they don't come. They come once and not again, or they say they will and they don't follow through. So we might get discouraged and think we have the wrong message or the wrong style or the wrong music or the wrong preacher. We work and we work and we don't see the results. But maybe that's not what this fishing for people thing is all about. Because in the world, we expect things will always progress in a certain way. We'll get what we deserve. Our work will always be rewarded. The past is always an indication of the future. Not always so. As people of faith, we ought to be expecting something else. Life from death, mercy instead of vengeance, justice and peace. Our expectations are grounded in the Word, after all, and this power of God to do even more than we can ever ask or expect. The story of God, the whole story of God is this creation and liberation from oppression and death. And victory in the harshest of circumstances. Abundance in a world in fear of scarcity. Unimaginable grace and undeserved, unconditional love for each and every one of us. The same word that calls these fishermen out to sea and out into the world to follow him calls us. And this word changed them from anglers into apostles, and invites us to be transformed too, to be his disciples, to learn from him, to welcome this word into us, and to live with it, and to share it, of course. And maybe I think about these fishermen and their nets, and maybe these nets are their expectations. They're about to break. Maybe we're too focused on mending our own nets to see the big catch, the abundance of grace and mercy God has given us in Jesus, God's love for us. We're called to leave those nets behind, leave those expectations and get out into a world where we can follow Jesus, who's leading us into deeper waters, calling us to live in a new way. And we've heard it said, if the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. We do that a lot. When we've tried to reach a goal and we've tried and tried and our expectations are not met, we can easily decide, well, I guess that was the wrong goal to begin with, or it wasn't worthy, or we don't have the tools to make it, or that the task was impossible to begin with. And we get discouraged and we give up. This week, rostered ministers from our church were supposed to be on a live Zoom call, a conference with our presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, and leaders from our church-wide office to discuss the future of our ministry in the ELCA and new structures and new steps to share the good news. We wanted to hear what this was about, so we all tried to tune in, but something happened that has happened to all of us in these last 11 months, technical difficulties. Some internet outage prevented the whole meeting from happening, and pastors and deacons from across the country were left wondering what happened. And they were complaining about things and speculating and bellyaching about the ineffectiveness and poor communication. I get it. So a few hours later, we got to see a recorded presentation, a video on YouTube, and while it was mostly vague and underwhelming, I did hear something that resonated with me. Micah McCracken, executive for innovation, director of the ELCA Leadership Lab, noted that as followers of Jesus, we get to trust so deeply in the transforming power of God that we do not resist change, but insist on it. Trust so deeply in the transforming power of God that we do not resist change, but insist on it. God is transforming us. God is transforming the world through Jesus, even when it's hard to see. Even and maybe especially when we're frustrated and disappointed and angry and afraid. Think about these fishermen. What did these first disciples expect when the sun rose that morning? Would they go home and sleep on empty stomachs to try again the next night? What they witnessed was the power of God in Jesus. A miracle, a sign, the sign of a boatload of fish that caught their attention and his message of the coming kingdom. This message of the kingdom of God would be their focus for the rest of their days. So what do you expect God to do now? What do you expect God to do in your life? What can we expect for our future together, besides internet outages and faulty technology? What will transform us from the old ways of thinking? Will signs of God's abundance in this life, this time of scarcity, wake us up to the needs of our neighbors? Will the power of God's healing excite us to share our faith and give words and witness to the love that unites and sustains us? Will the sign of an empty cross, an empty tomb, an abundance of answered prayers transform our hearts from fear and self-interest to love God and one another for the rest of our days? Rather than saying we have a mission, my friend Rafael Malpica Padilla, our ELCA Executive Director for Global Mission, is fond of saying God's mission has a church. God's mission has a church. And this mission is God's mission, the redemption, reconciling, and renewing of the universe through the living word of Christ. We get to participate in the world God created and loves so well. This powerful word comes to us, is activated by the spirit of faith, and drives us, dwells in us, drives us beyond the boundaries and borders we create, sends us to serve one another in all the places we go, in our families, in our jobs, in our communities, in the name of Jesus. So who are we in the story? Are we those weary workers who fished for so long and have been discouraged? Are we those first hearers on the beach, listening for good news of the kingdom that comes to us? Are we Peter, who fails to understand where he's going and exactly what will happen next? We are the faithful ones who follow Jesus into the unknown, to care and share and serve and give and live and love this new kind of life every day. Because he knows us, knows what we're capable of, because he teaches us and we're always learning, because he claims us, and because he calls us to follow him. Amen.